Nice ovation there for you guys live in Alaska. That's the second axing. That's Janet Kuipers and John Yatko. If you're just joining us, it's a featured artist special. And boy, that was an enthusiastic crowd response.
They liked us there.
They did. They called us back for a second night. I mean, I found it hard to believe that they were like that. But apparently, there's not a lot to do up there. So it's a huge bar outside of Fairbanks, about 12 miles north of Fairbanks. What was the name of the place?
Something Jack's.
Jack's. Maybe just Jack's.
I don't even remember. Although, if you look on the web, there is a page for the second axing at http://scars.tv/axe.htm. And there are links to the concert tracks of what we've done there, and it probably tells you the name of the place that we played at. Now I have to go look.
The Scars TV website, and another is also linked up underneath the band's name on our schedule for this evening for surfers that want to surf on over effortlessly. Let's talk a bit about the differences between being a performance artist and being a recording artist. And John, you in particular, since you have to, you get so many variables in the studio that you can work with, yet you're stuck out there live with your guitar.
So, yeah, there is a big difference because, you know, everything we do live has been primarily acoustic. Just this last show that Janet did was the first time that she used any kind of an effect with her voice where she was doing pitch shifting and then adding echo and things for other parts. So when you go to do something live, it gets really, I guess, thin sounding. Some of the songs that she was actually doing the poetry to, they were actually primarily supposed to be done with an electric guitar. And with flanging or phasing, phase shifting, something like that in chorus to add more sound to it. But we were there, so we just did it that way. You know, here I would have keyboards. I would have a selection of a few different guitars. One thing I was doing, I think I was squishing a can one time to make the recording because I wanted to get that heartbeat sound of one of the earlier pieces that we did. And Jenna asked, "What am I doing?" He asked what I was doing. I just wanted to get that sound. I didn't know. And now we have this other thing that my brother-in-law just gave us. It's one of those.
We don't know the name of this.
We don't know what it's called. So if anybody out there knows what it's called,
well, you should explain what it is.
If you saw Crocodile Dundee,
it's an Australian. Toy musical instrument? I have no idea. It is a wooden stick that's probably...
It is for communication. It is actually an Aboriginal communication thing. I don't know what it's called. It has a long string and it's an
8-inch wooden string, and you spin it over your head.
You spin your head, and it makes
different sounds.
Woofing, like a ruffling sound, or something really deep ruffling sound.
It's an Aboriginal.
If anybody knows what it is, please, dear God, let us know.
It's an Aboriginal cell phone.
Exactly.
And you have no roaming charges.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because you're out there roaming yourself anyway. Well, we know we get lots of listeners in Australia, so any of our Australian listeners that can help us out here on the name of that instrument, please do so. Email us at request@artistfirst.com. Of course, right now it's about 9:30 in the morning in Perth, Australia.
Ooh.
Yep, we're doing the morning show for the commute to Perth today. It's great. You know, we really do get emails from our Australian listeners. We've had several Australian bands on. Even a guy from Tasmania is currently in our rotation. It's great because the timing is perfect, as opposed to other European countries where our prime time is in the middle of the night,
you know,
3 and
yeah.
4 and 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It seems we get a little bit more listeners from the, at least during prime time from Australia.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Yep, we got something, we just got spammed. I thought maybe, well, there you go. What are you going to do? Well, what do you guys prefer doing? In the two worlds that you float between, which are live performance and the recording studio, which are you guys most comfortable at?
Which would we do? I think he enjoys playing with the computer and the editing of the. Yeah, he's
I'm
nodding.
I'm shaking my head yes over here. I kind of enjoy that. I do because that's really where I get a chance to be more creative than
the mad scientist, as we call him.
Right? I am. Somebody said I have math Tourette's.
Because he's so mathematically oriented that he can just whip out any information, like, you know, any otherwise electronic or mathematical information. And you said creatively, since it's usually my words, myself performing, oftentimes, although it makes me, I get very nervous doing it, I enjoy the feedback that I'll get after a live performance of performance arts. So I like that as well. So, hopefully it works out for the both of us. I love the work that John does once it's pre-recorded, but it's often not material that we could do live, so we get a variety of works at that rate.
Well, there is obviously the immediate satisfaction of listening to the ovation like we just heard at the end of your last track there, but it's the live recording aspect that outlives us.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of memories of the people that were there, and they'll remember your thing. But for future generations, you got to get it on CD or tape sometime.
Right.
You're leaving something to posterity.
Yeah, definitely.
So how much material? I mean, you sent us a ton of stuff here. It would take us several shows to go through everything you sent us. How much material have you guys cranked out over the years?
When it comes to poetry, I mean,
I mean, you could fill up several CDs, and you've got, I mean, how many pieces do you think... Janet, you've written and performed in public, separate pieces.
Each one of your shows.
I do quarterly performance art shows where I talk and do material for probably about 45 minutes. I've done that for a few years. And I have those things recorded and available on the internet at scars.tv, actually. I'm trying to think. I mean, I've done studio work as well. There are probably 4 or 5 CDs of my own work that wasn't from live performances. But I'm trying to think about it. When it comes to just music, I haven't done as much because the performance art stuff on my own is not with John with the second act. He will help me out as an engineer with coming up with material for it. But we haven't done as much stuff. We've done occasionally we'll do musical pieces, like I think it'll be our next piece is a song called Why that I did a long time ago. But a lot of the things will be things that we'll just have to pull on the fly for being able to play live with something that I know the words to for a poem that we can pull off. And we've got probably more of those than of our own original songs, but...
Well, great segue there, Janet. Of course, guess what the next tune we're going to play is, audience? You've got it. It's called Why. What do you want to tell us about this before we play it?
That was actually something I wrote a long time ago, and I asked John to come up with the music for it, so he did. How would you describe it?
I don't even remember how this goes, actually. I'm trying to think. I can't think of how it goes. And I'm drawing a blank right now.
It's an older piece of ours, but...
Well, here we go, audience. It's called Why. The band is the Second Axing.